Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody out there in listener land. This is Coach Penn, and this is my little internet radio show I like to call Third and Long. It's mainly about women's football, but we do concentrate on all types of football. My big thing is college football, and then I do hit the pro football circuit for those of you interested out there. I'm a big fan of all three sports. I'm heavily invested and dedicated to women's football. And for those of you who don't check the boards or don't, you know, read up on the happenings and check the websites regularly, today had a huge announcement from the NWFA. So that's first on my order of things. Then after I get a bunch of stuff covered from the women's side of the ball, we'll go over to men's and cover college football. Finally, after that, if I have some time left, I'll bust into the pro football circuit and see what's going on over there these days. For those of you wanting to call in, talk, throw some questions at me, the phone number is 347-826-7278. And I'm on every Wednesday, unless noted on the WordPress, the Ladies of WFB Talk website. I will be on every Wednesday at 7 p.m., and that's Pacific Standard Time. For those of you unfamiliar or a first-time listener, if you're click the listen button, up on the right there is a chat available. You can hop in the chat room, talk with some of the other listeners that are listening live, and throw questions at me on there before you actually bring them to me online. And I welcome everybody, and whatever you want to say, feel free. I mean, I might be a little bit more biased. I am in the IWFL, the coach of an IWFL team, so I have a lot of inside information and more knowledge about that. But the big news this week is all about, or actually today, the big news today is all about the NWFA. And tomorrow night, Coach Trammer has his show, and he is a coach in the NWFA, so he will probably go a little bit more in depth than I will. But the big news, drum roll please, Catherine Masters has stepped down. The NWFA is her baby. And for those of you who know, I've had her on my show before. She was one of my first guests. And, you know, that was always a dictatorship to me. She was the one person in charge, and she really didn't care what anybody else said. She was doing what she wanted to do. And in her press release, let's see what exactly she says. I am stepping down for several reasons. The biggest being the fact that I will be 64 next month, and I need to chase a few more dreams. I'm extremely proud of what I've accomplished for the sport of women's football and know that the NWFA will continue to grow and prosper. Helping female athletes chase their dreams of playing football will always mean something special to me. So that is what her statement is. And the closing part is something that I found most interesting. Here's her quote. We have some of the best owners in the sport of women's football, and I am confident they will take our league and sport to a higher level. I have signed a letter of intent with the owners, and we should have a deal completed within the next week. I think it's time the owners of the NWFA had a say in how the league was run, and I believe that this change is going to only make the NWFA stronger and more successful. I will certainly miss running the league, but I know in my heart that this is what should happen. So that right there is kind of hilarious to me to hear, because she's always been, it's my way or the highway. And I don't know what, I guess, brought on this sudden sense of change or what she has in her dreams that she wants to chase. But she finally realizes that to be a good league, you need to accept some opinions and some, I guess, ideas from outside sources. And she basically ran that league how she saw fit. Now the owners are taking over, and I'm not sure if it's going to be set up like the WPFL was, but the WPFL had, you know, all the owners, and they voted and all that fun stuff. And I believe that the IWFL is set up somewhat that way. But I think that this right here is the NWFA kind of structuring itself similar to the WFA. And I believe the creation of the WFA is probably what spurned this, because I've heard from some of my sources over the past couple months that Catherine Masters was losing not so much her interest, but her desire to continue to keep running women's football the way she was. So I was wondering, you know, if she was going to bring more people in to run management, but instead she just walked away totally and is leaving the league to the owners, and I guess they're buying her out or something along those lines. So what does this mean for the future of women's football? I see two likely scenarios that would be beneficial to women's football. The first being that the WFA holds true to its word, has a fantastic 2009 season, whereas the NWFA are overwhelmed and kind of realize that they can't do this alone, and in turn kind of merge with the WFA and NWFA, kind of merging together. And, you know, I think that's being one likely scenario that would be good. The other is the exact opposite. I say, you know, maybe the NWFA, boom, they run their stuff like they've been running their stuff, you know, they have their success. And the WFA doesn't live up to its promises and can't deliver on all the things that it said. And that the teams realize that maybe it isn't always greener on the other side. And they end up going back, since most of the teams left the NWFA to join the WFA, go back to the NWFA once again, building it up, since they now have a say in how that league is run. So those two likely scenarios, I think, would most benefit women's football. Now, the most likely scenario, I think, is horrible, because what's going to happen is we're going to have three leagues again, and we're going to have teams and owners thinking that they know more or thinking that they can do better than everybody else, and the NWFA and the WFA will continue to switch teams, and with the IWFL picking up or losing a couple every year to these leagues. And once again, women's football will not move forward, and I don't care who you're a fan of or what league you're partial to, it hurts the sport, and everybody says they're in this for the sport. I think the IWFL is the most organized right now. The NWFA is going to have some fun this year trying to get everything together, and I'm not saying they cannot do it. And the WFA has some great ideas, but it is a first-year thing, and that, to me right now, they don't have enough teams to be totally successful. With that being said, they have added a couple more teams, the West Virginia Wild. They used to be the West Virginia Wonders, NWFA. And then they just added today the Emerald Coast Barracudas, NWFA. So they basically have a whole Southeast division locked up from the NWFA. They've taken so many teams from the NWFA, it's basically like another version of the NWFA. And it's funny because three of their acronyms are one letter off. So I see them, they're both structuring themselves the same, and it should be, I think it should be a good year for women's football, because it's going to create a lot of talk. And if the people in charge of the teams and leagues continue to move forward and not regress, I think it'll be a good year for women's football altogether. I mean, it should be pretty fun to actually see it develop. Now, obviously this happened at the owners' meeting this past week for the NWFA, and this past weekend the IWFL held their league meetings with all of their delegates and owners. So I had a bunch of questions for some of the management ring of the IWFL, and unfortunately the WFA and NWFA are ahead of the IWFL in the fact that they update their websites daily, and that includes team standings and news. The IWFL only updates the news, which includes adding teams, but the Showgirls and the Connecticut Cyclones and the Columbus Phantoms, they're all still listed on the IWFL website, and one of the reasons is because everything is linked. So if they were to remove a team, it would basically throw the whole thing into a big cluster, I guess you could say, if it actually did that. So that's the reason they haven't updated their website as opposed to standings, because they say the standings, scores, and stats are all linked together, and if they remove or add, it throws the whole thing into kablooey. So we will expect something within the next day or probably next week. They have recently updated it so that it shows blank. So the 2009 and 2010 season. From what I am being told, the new divisions have been decided upon. The start date has been decided upon, They're just waiting to update the league website. And in the upcoming weeks, there will be several major announcements. And I take upcoming weeks as in this week into next week. So, but since I didn't have a show last Wednesday, they have since added three new teams. And that's the LA Amazons, which I'm super hyped about. And I was totally wrong because I guessed that they would go to the WFA with everybody else. You know, I know Coach Duncan. He's very close with Coach Lee. They've been friends for a long time. Duncan has good ties with the Ventura Black Widows. And then Duncan and I both know Bartley. And, you know, so I figured he would just go over there because, you know, those are the people he's familiar with. He knows Jeff King very well. And BJ says on the chat board that he just wanted to prove me wrong. It's funny because the discussions we had, he was like, I don't know if I want to play you guys. And I'm like, I always thought that was funny, and you know, but I haven't played Duncan since 2005 when I was with the Aftershock, and it was just getting good because his team was getting better and we were on the decline, and his team was better than us that last year that we played, but it was still a great game. It was a lot of fun. And now that the LA market, while it can't sustain one men's team, will have two women's teams. And the LA Amazons play in North LA, kind of almost East LA, Northeast, I guess you could say, and we play south of LA. Some people like to say call Long Beach South Bay, and we basically consist in Long Beach, but our home stadium is now Downey, so whatever you want to consider that. And then you have the SoCal team, which is Orange County, and you also have the Ventura Black Widows, Modesto Magic, and the California Lynx. So Southern California has a lot of teams right now, and it should be pretty interesting. Another team, which I've known about for a long time, Chattanooga Locomotion. Just took them forever to get their paperwork submitted. I don't know the specifics of all of it, but hey, they're in now, and there's another good team that should really bring down the cost of some of those teams in the East. I call it the Mideast because it's, you know, the Carolinas and Kentuckys and Tennessees. It's all the Mideast, basically. And then the most recent announcement was another NWFA defect, and that was the New York Nemesis. So I don't know how many New York teams there are in the IFL, but there's a bunch. So their travel is going to be minimum. And their expenses should not be that great at all. And I know they're still doing the Tier 1 and Tier 2 things. I actually had set up, based on the teams that I knew were out, based on the teams that had been announced coming in, my own conference choices. Like, not choices, but what I think would best work for travel expenses. And I think it's funny. I shared it with my owner. And it was funny for her to look at. She's like, wow, that's not bad. And so she took it with her, but It's funny. They had already had all that decided and all that fun stuff, so it looks like there's going to be a Tier 2 team. I mean, they're building it right now. If you go to the IWFL website, which is IWFLsports.com, and you go to the standings, they have 2009 and 2010 on there, and it looks like the 2008 stuff is all fine. So they're updating all that stuff right now. The teams tab is completely blank, so obviously that will be written in here in the next few days. Let me see what other communications I got from the IWFL. Some of the questions I said, the new divisions, can't release it yet. They're setting it up. League website, they're there soon. They're just trying to get it all set up because it's kind of, you know, a big hassle to make sure it all coordinates together. And since the three new teams, were they adding any more? And they are not adding any more teams for the 09 season. I believe they are always on the lookout for new teams, as are the WFA and the NWFA, always trying to get new teams, but they are not looking for any more for the 09 season because I believe the 09 schedule is done. So that is very exciting. The last thing was, when does the season start? Last year, I think it started on April 12th or something. I think that was our first game. You know, 12th, 19th, 26th were the first three games. So, I imagine it'll be starting around the same. She would not verify or deny any of that, but it should be around the same time. Now, here's the interesting part. If they started the same weekend they started last year, that's Easter weekend. And you basically, I don't know how you, you're caught in a catch-22 because Easter weekend is a very family-oriented weekend. Yes, it is only one day, but there is a lot of traveling going on, and people will be out of town or unavailable. So then, but if you count 12 weeks, because every team gets two byes, you fall on July 4th weekend. And guess what July 4th weekend is? July 4th is actually Saturday. So I'm sure the league probably had to weigh something along those lines, whereas do we want to have games Easter weekend or do we want to have games on July 4th? So, and with that being the last week of the season, I mean, that probably has a lot of playoff implications. Now, I personally, I think that the July 4th date would be easier to promote because you could create a whole day out of it. You know, people have the fields mostly for 6 to 8 hours. What's paying for a couple more hours and basically creating a whole barbecue slash party thing at your local stadium and then finish it off with a game and fireworks? I mean, I think that would be an easy sell. I think it would be easier to compete or join with July 4th than compete with Thanksgiving. So I have LaRusse on here. LaRusse is on the chat board. Welcome to the chat board. Thanks for listening to my show. He says, do you, or he or she, I don't know, so clarify that for me. Do you have any advice for teams that are new to the NWFA? Not now, because I think the NWFA is, it's basically a brand new league now. With CM not in charge, you're basically going to have not so much free reign, but you're going to be able to run the team how you best see fit in the group of owners that are running the league. It's a she, so hello, LaRusse, she. I don't think that it will be any worse. In fact, I think it will probably be a lot better. It's just how well are the owners going to work together because, like I said, there's a lot of egos involved in women's football. People always think they have a better idea, and a lot of people aren't as open-minded as they should be. A lot of people are, so I'm not knocking the people that are and do work hard for women's football. But it is a challenge. I've been doing it for 7 years. This will be my 8th season. And it does become a bit easier every year, and I believe I am very open to a lot of things. But then again, I am very, I guess, stubborn or single-minded about certain issues. For those of you who don't know what those issues are, I believe that instead of starting a new team or a new league, you should take your ideas to existing teams and leagues and see if they will work with you. If they won't, then you know, worst case scenario. But the starting of new leagues and new teams and areas that, you know, the things have already set up, it's just ridiculous to me because all that does is destabilize and not help promote the sport of women's football. So there's my 2 cents from the soapbox. Please excuse that. All right, so thank you for the question, LaRusse. Remember, anybody listening out there, if you want to hop on the chat room, you can throw some questions out there, just chat with some of the other members. And then if you feel like calling in, the number is 347-826-7278. And I'm Coach Penn. It's my show, Third and Long. We're finishing up with some of the stuff on women's football. You know, big announcement with CM stepping down. That's just a huge surprise, but I think a very good thing for football. I'm an IBFL coach, so Coach Trammer, his Thursday night show, he's an NWFA coach. He may have some more advice for you, LaRusse, so listen to his show, and I'm sure he would be very helpful in that area. He's on a new team too, so I think that maybe if you were to contact him, he does have his email list on this website, as do I, which is headcoach@californiaquakefootball.com. Email him, and I'm sure he'll be able to shoot some ideas back and forth with you or at least put you in touch with some right people. So next weekend is what is going on next weekend? Oh, yeah, just the conference in Vegas, and then the All-Star event in Texas. Nothing to get too excited about. So, I mean, next weekend is a huge event for women's football. Yes, they conflict with each other. You know what? Two tears in a bucket, mother. Yeah, you got it. All right. Choose which one you think best fits you and attend. Support the event and learn more about women's football. The football camp is probably going to be really good. I know that several of my colleagues from the IWFL will be at that football camp, and I know several of my colleagues will be at the All-Star event in Texas. So I will not be there, so you don't have to yell at me for picking one over the other. I chose Florida State. I'm going to the Florida State Clemson game with some people that I went to college with. I've had season tickets all year. This will be my second game that I'm going to, and I'm going to 3 overall. So LaRusse actually had a question about there are no teams in her region left, and she's not sure who she will be playing, so I'm going to throw a question out there to her. Which region are you in? and I will see what is going on there. So the football camp in Vegas should be pretty cool. It's a multi-day event. I think it starts on the 6th, which is Thursday, and runs through the 9th, finishing up. And if you go to these, the NING, the NING sites that Dion set up for the Women's Football Talk Group, I'm not really sure of the acronym, but it's something like that, the Women's Football Talk Group, and then the IWFL also set one up. You can actually get a lot of networking done on both of those sites. There seems to be a ton of people on Dion's, which is great because everybody's meeting and greeting, and he requires you to have a picture, and that is fantastic. So you can actually put faces with names and teams and just do a lot of talking. The IWFL one, and I don't think either one of them is strictly for members in either thing. I mean, Dion's thing is for women's football totally. He has stuff from all three leagues in there. And then the IWFL one, most of the stuff posted is going to be about the IWFL. I don't think it's limited to just IWFL members, though, but I think it's more of a league thing, as in you need to talk to the league, because I know that some of the members actually, the league officers actually answer questions in there, because somebody actually put one up, when are you going to update the website? And they actually answered in a couple days. We're working on getting on the software updated. So it's nice to be able to talk directly to the league like that without sending an email and waiting 2 months. Just throw it up, start a discussion, see if they respond. I mean, and they're on there a lot. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with those sites, BJ just posted them on the chat room board, so you can actually hit those up. So if there's no other questions out there about women's football right now, I will delve into college football. Don't think that you have to. Okay, no. LaRue came back. She's in the Northeast region, which includes the Nemesis, Titans, Philly, etc. So I had Boo's website up. And for those of you unfamiliar with Boo, Boo is a former California Quake player, but she's basically the save-all to any information from past leagues. And if you go to members.aol.com/BooInLA. INLA. She actually has all kinds of stuff on there, and she just recently updated on 9/27/08. So it's been a while since she's updated, but obviously their people haven't updated anything either. So you were in the, where is it? Well, it looks like the Eastern Division. The Baltimore Burn gone, Titans gone, Phoenix gone. Yeah. What team are you on? So that's really strange. Their Northeast region, she says, to be specific, and I do not see a Northeast region. Northern Conference, Eastern Division, yes, that makes more sense. But there's only three teams in there, and they're all gone now. So I don't know which team you're talking about, but let me know which team you actually are on. She's the Jersey Justice. Okay, that makes it simple. Jersey Justice. Yeah. New York Nemesis is gone. They still have Maine and Connecticut. And I don't think Dayton, Fort Wayne, or Indy is anywhere near. It says that's Midwest. Yeah, so I don't know how they're going to structure that over there, but they lost most of their teams to the WFA. So that is going to be challenging, and that's something you probably want to bring up to your league or team owner. Say, hey, listen, I know we joined the league, but who are we going to play because all the teams left? You know, are we going to have to travel that much to all the teams? And I don't know if it's past the point of no return, but you might decide, you know, to inject some knowledge into them and let them know, hey, you might have went into this thinking you were going to have all these teams to play, but guess what? We don't. So it's a regional league, and it should be quite interesting to watch. But congratulations on joining the NWFA, and have a good season. I mean, Jersey, I've been there, I think, twice. I was really young, so I don't remember anything, except I went to Trenton. And I did go to Hoboken, or not Hoboken. What's the thing right across the city, right across the river? Because I actually did that and met some friends when I went in 2002 for New Year's. So, but anyways, enough rambling on. I'm going to shoot right into college football. College football is the love of my life. Those of you who haven't been listening, where you been? you're missing all this great knowledge that I'm spitting at you. I'm a big college football fan, and I love it. I think this is the truest test of the game, because you can actually do a bunch of different things, and it is about coaching, because you have to recruit the players that will fit your system and basically just win every game. In the NFL, it's all about parity, and it's like, you know, I heard Phil Simms say something about not tied on, what is it, the inside the NFL, and he said, you know, it's all about coaching in the NFL, you know, because, you know, these teams suck, and if they get a good coach, they're good. And I'm like, no, it's not really the coaching. It's if the players buy into what the coach is teaching. So I think the NCAA is all about coaching and molding young players into working as a team for the benefit of a school and a society, because college football is a society. And I live out on the West Coast, where everybody's a fair weather fan, and, you know, and there's this West Coast media bias, which is just hilarious. So without any further ado, I'm going to go right into my NCAA top 15 teams. I only do the top 15 because 25 is just too much, and my vote doesn't count anyways. My opinion of where I think people stand. Texas Longhorns, they'll lock down the number one position for another week. They have another test, Texas Tech, this weekend, and a lot of people seem to think Texas Tech is a worthy opponent. Well, we will see. Heisman Cody is proving that he's worthy, and he has another game to do it, and basically secure him the Heisman Trophy, because he's playing lights out. For those of you who want to make just a general, I don't know what you call it, but just, you know, he's throwing a lot of passes, and he's completing 81% of them. 81%. When you made an 81 on a test in school, that was a B on a 10-point scale. Most quarterbacks throw 60% if they're really good, 65% if they're great. He's throwing 81% for the season, and he's not, like, throwing 8 times a game. He's throwing 30 to 40 times a game. So that's just amazing. Number two, Penn State. Penn State went into the shoe and won. And everybody will say, well, they only won by a touchdown, and USC beat Ohio State by a ton. Well, Ohio State basically didn't have any swagger in that game and were proved that they need to work on a lot of things. They're still working on a lot of things, but that defense has gotten phenomenal. That defense is really good. Their offense is still blah. But, you know, Tyrell Pryor is a rookie, and the Phenom will get better. But right now, Penn State is number two. Crimson Tide, Alabama, number three. And the reason I put them at number three is because they're not beating anybody convincingly. Everybody's like, well, they killed Tennessee at Rocky Top. I'm like, UCLA beat Tennessee, and UCLA is horrible. So that is not saying much. They did what they were supposed to do. In fact, I expected a much bigger victory than it was. Tennessee stayed in that game way too long. Number four, I put Texas Tech. Kansas was a one-point favorite last weekend over Texas Tech. And Texas Tech beat them by 42 points. 42 points. This was a ranked team they beat by 42 points. So, jump up on the rankings, and now they're number four. So this week, my big game is number one versus number four. Number five, I bumped up the Gators. The Gators are playing lights out. I said at the beginning of the year that they were not playing to their potential and they needed to find a running game. Guess what? They're playing to their potential and they found a running game. And they have great special teams. I am not looking forward to November 29th. I will be at Florida State for the Florida State game. And now, man, if Florida is 10-1, I am going to love it. And then we'll lose. But hey, I don't care. I'll be there for it. It'll be fun. Number six, Georgia Bulldogs. Georgia's, they have a lot of injuries, and they're dealing with a lot of adversity, but they're playing very well. And they've only lost one game, and it was to Alabama, and it didn't look good. But they have Redemption Weekend. This weekend, the largest cocktail party in Jacksonville, 45 minutes north of where I grew up, Gators and Bulldogs for all the marbles. Winner basically is going to play in the SEC championship game with a chance to go to the BCS championship game. So that's huge. Number seven is Utah. They need to keep on winning and win big because they need to keep the computers happy so they can be a BCS buster. Oklahoma State played Texas very well, and I think they dropped too far in the polls. I have them at 8. They were lost by 4, and they played Texas better than anybody has all season, including Oklahoma, and Oklahoma's ranked 4 in polls, which I think is a freaking joke. You can't rank somebody in the top 4, top 5, top 10, if your defense can't stop a junior high team. Number 9, Boise State. Boise State's another BCS buster that basically has to keep on winning. This week they play the Aggies in New Mexico State, and that should be another big win for them. Number 10, I have the overrated Oklahoma Sooners. Oklahoma Sooners, they have a great offense. Excuse me, I had to wet my lips. They have a great offense, but that defense is horrible. Kansas State kept up with them most of the game. And Kansas State has a very good quarterback, and he proved that if you have a good quarterback and decent talent, you can keep up with Oklahoma. Their defense wasn't good enough, but they played really, really well. And that was more of a light to Kansas State and not to Oklahoma because I knew they weren't that good. TCU, a team that just killed BYU, who got killed by Oklahoma, I put it 11th. They play UNLV this week, and BYU snuck by UNLV. Don't expect TCU to do that. They're gonna just blow them out. It won't even be pretty. Number 12, I have the overhyped Southern California Trojans. Let's see. What do I say about USC? I actually went to a bar with a bunch of my friends and watched this game against Arizona. Arizona had any sort of offense or just some trick plays they could have run, they would have won that game. Trojans are very good on defense, but they haven't played anybody. They won't play anybody. They won't play anybody that has an offensive team. But one person they had, they played Oregon State, who Penn State killed. They lost to because they couldn't tackle somebody small and fast. So I don't care how big and strong you are, you just have to be able to tackle somebody on the other side of the ball, no matter their size. USC cannot do that. And they'll basically be playing in the Rose Bowl. Penn State, hope that somebody loses in front of you, otherwise you're going to play USC. And you know what? I'm hoping nobody does lose in front of you because I would like to see Penn State-USC. I think that's a great game. And if Penn State does manage to slip into the championship game and we have Penn State versus an SEC or Big 12 team, guess what? The stupid people from the Rose Bowl are going to pick whoever came in second from the Pac-10. Guess who's going to finish second? Ohio State or Minnesota? And unless Ohio State loses again, it's going to be Ohio State because they hold the tiebreaker over Minnesota. And that is going to be ridiculous. So, and they never learned. They put Illinois in there last year. Illinois just got slapped around and looked stupid. So, I don't get it. I would much rather see Penn State. I'm rooting for Alabama and Texas so that I can see Penn State play USC. I think that's the best-case scenario for college football. Number 13, Ball State. They finally have a bye. They're 8-0, and barring a complete meltdown, we'll go undefeated. The big thing is their schedule's crap, so how will the computers treat them? Will they be able to be one of the teams up for a BCS, and will they have enough following to get a BCS bid? Number 14, Tulsa, one of the other undefeateds. They woke up in the second half against UCF and just poured it on. And that proved to me that they were worthy for the poll. Number 15, this was basically a coin flip between Minnesota and Florida State. And it came down to, well, do I want to put somebody in the Big Ten or do I want to put somebody in the ACC? And I chose the ACC, and I think I might be a little bit biased, but the loss, Florida State has one loss, and it was to Wake Forest. It's their only blemish, and the game, I was there. It was horrible. Florida State turned the ball over 7 times and still had a chance to win the game. So, obviously, you take that one game where they just couldn't get everybody on the same page because they're missing so many people, and they would be really good. Minnesota got killed by Ohio State. So that was down for me. Ohio State, Georgia Tech, both dropped out. Defensive playing gate, like I said, for Ohio State. Georgia Tech lost to Virginia. And where did Virginia come from? Al Groh heard rumors of him being fired, and he was like, guys, you need to start playing because next year I might not be here if we don't start winning some games. Oh, yes, that speech worked. I need to try that when I have a losing season. Waiting to get back into the rankings, of course, Minnesota, they went out. I mean, they deserve to be ranked if they finish 11-1. They do not deserve to go to the Rose Bowl, but they deserve to get ranked. BYU, they keep on winning, and that includes a big victory over Utah at the end of the season. They'll get some love from me. So the big games this weekend, Texas Tech, huge game. It's a night game. It's at 5 o'clock on the West Coast, 8 o'clock on the East Coast. I think that I will be done with my fundraiser by then, so that'll be nice. Then we have Florida-Georgia. Florida-Georgia is another one. I can't wait to see that one. FSU-Georgia Tech. That's an intriguing game because FSU has to go to Georgia Tech, and they've only left the state once this year, and they barely beat NC State. It's a Thursday night game, and Florida State hasn't done particularly well in Thursday night games, but are they back or are they just better? Georgia Tech should prove. And then we have Northwestern and Minnesota. Minnesota can keep garnering respect if they beat Northwestern. So, BCS Busters, like I said, Tulsa actually has to play Arkansas, and so that should be interesting for me. Let me see. I got a text here. Coach tried to call in to talk to me about the Arkansas Razorbacks, and he says he was unable to, so I'm not sure. If you just want to, you know, hop in the chat room and talk that way, you can do that in there, Gabe. If you can't get in, you know, sorry. It happens sometimes. You're calling from a 562 number, so BJ, if you see somebody with a 562 number pop up, please let me know, and we'll page him through. Once again, the number is, 347-826-7278. So if you're going to call in there. Still seven people in the chat room. Everybody's a little bit quiet tonight, but there are some people in there. Guess they're all just listening. I'll try not to bore you too much. The last thing I have left is pro football. Before we hop on pro football, I did want to mention that the women's football sites, Ning sites, N-I-N-G sites, have a lot of information on there, and I mentioned that, but right now, if you have friends or people that you see that look like they're athletic women that, you know, have never heard about women's football, talk it up to them and let them know, because everybody's doing tryouts right now. There's tons of fundraisers going on, and tryouts are basically in full swing. Once November hits, I think every team will have basically done or run a tryout, or will be planning one in that month. So it's really huge. I know that we had a clinic, what was it, last weekend, I think it was? I believe it was last weekend. And then this weekend we actually have our first big fundraiser. We've done a couple of restaurant nights, which for those of you who don't know what restaurant nights are, go to some local restaurants. Even some chains actually do it. They'll set aside a three-hour period for you to go and basically publicize, go eat at this place during this time and say you're with us. And they'll give you a percentage of their income for that night, that time period. So, I mean, that's awesome. Restaurant nights are the easiest money you will ever earn. I mean, you pass out some flyers, and you send a couple people there to meet and greet. And guess what? You could earn a couple hundred dollars just like that. So, but this week we're holding a flag football tournament. The flag football tournament, we're holding a 16-team co-ed tournament. And a lot of people are like, why are you having a co-ed one? And because we want a co-ed one because we want the word out there about women's football. We don't want a bunch of guys out there just playing football. We want them to be able to play football with women, have a good time, and win some money. Because first place wins $800. $800. If we have 16 teams there, first place will win $800, and second place will win $400. The entrance fee is $20 a person or $200 a team. You're allowed 12 people on your team. No more than 8 men. You have to have at least 4 women on your team. So it's a big event. We're going to have a lot of fun out there. Most of my coaching staff will be doing the reffing. We'll have 4 games going on at once, and it should be an all-day thing. It's like from first game starts at 10, I think, and then the championship game is at 5:30 or something like that. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And for those of you who are interested in setting up something like that, you know, shoot me an email, headcoach@californiaquakefootball.com. Or if you have some good ideas, I know some people have done some golf tournaments, car washes, and garage sales I don't want to hear about. It's too much work and not enough money. Right now we're doing an all-day thing, and we should be profiting a couple grand. Not a couple hundred, a couple grand. If you're doing things for more than 4 or 5 hours that require a lot of effort, you need to be making thousands of dollars, not hundreds of dollars. It's just too much effort by too many people to be earning that little amount of money. All right, so there's another soapbox moment. Thank you for listening. Let me see. So pro football. Pro football is what we got next, and there are a lot of surprises in pro football. I mean, I want to see a raise of hands from everybody out in the audience. Who thought the Tennessee Titans would be undefeated at 7 games into the season and have beaten the Colts? Yeah, I don't see any hands, and I didn't think I would have. So that's a huge surprise. I mean, undefeated Tennessee Titans, and they didn't just, you know, sneak by beating Indy. They played a really good game against Indy, both offensively and defensively. So, and they have a great defense. Jeff Fisher's doing a great job there, and all the millions they pay him, it's worth it. He's doing a phenomenal job. And remember, he's doing this with a backup quarterback. Kerry Collins, everybody remember him? Yeah, he's playing quarterback for the Tennessee Titans, the undefeated Tennessee Titans. Somebody slap me. The other surprises. I'm not so sure if this is a surprise or not, but the Bungles and the Lionesses. So for those of you who didn't catch that, it's the Bengals and the Lions. I've totally changed their names because they don't represent professional football teams. They're the Bungles and the Lionesses. They can't even steal a victory, and I think a couple teams have tried to give them victories this year. It is amazing how bad they are, and I just can't believe that. I mean, last year it was my Dolphins. The Dolphins were just horrible, but they weren't playing bad football. They just couldn't get a win. They played with everybody and just couldn't get a win. They shot themselves in the foot or would make stupid mistakes. And the Bungles and Lionesses just suck. They can't complete a pass. They can't run for first down. They certainly can't tackle anybody. I think they're passing out business cards to hopefully get on the free agent market while they're on the field. As the running back's going by, they're trying to stick it in his, you know, pocket or jockstrap. It's amazing how bad these teams are playing, and in the era that we're in, where it's so much parity in the league and anybody can beat anybody, I cannot wait till these teams play each other. And I hope they do. That's my bad. I didn't even do some research. I don't know if they play each other, but they should. The league's just changing things around right now, so they play each other so that we can see what bad football is like. Yeah, bad. The other couple surprises. Who thought Indy and San Diego would be on the outside looking in? Now, yes, the AFC is just horrible this year. With the exception of Tennessee, you have Steelers at 5-2, and the Patriots at 5-2, and that's it. Everybody else is just so San Diego is playing horrible, and LT either needs to get better or not play. He needs to not play and get better, or start playing in the preseason so he can start kicking in, because they just are horrible. And there's so much weight on Phillip Rivers to do everything. And the receiving core is not 100%. Their line's not what it used to be. I bet you they're regretting letting Lorenzo Neal go. I mean, all the guy did was block 14 straight years for 1,000-yard rushers. And I don't know if LaDainian's going to make 1,000 yards this year. I'm sure he will, because there's a 16-game season and all you have to average is 60 yards. But he should be rushing for 1,600. 1,800, 2,000 yards a season for how good he is when he's healthy. Indy, Payton had the same thing. They released this week that he had umpteen surgeries during the preseason, and, you know, that's why it took him so long to get better. And everybody's like, he's back. And, well, look what Tennessee did. He's not back. He's just not playing very well. And now Marvin Harrison went down. I'm not sure how serious that is, but their team has a lot to deal with right now. And the other big, on the flip side, those teams are going downhill, and these teams are going up. New England, they lost Tom Brady. And in comes Matt Castle, who had started the game since high school. And, wow, I mean, they're 5-2. They did get killed by the Dolphins, which everybody should look at because they're not a good team. And Randy Moss isn't getting the passes that he was because Castle can't throw the deep ball, so everybody says. I just don't think Castle is a quarterback yet. I mean, it's going to take him 7-8 games, you know, maybe 12 games to be really comfortable running it again. Because I mean, all he's been doing is backing up for the last 6 years, or no, hold on, probably 8 or 9 years, all of college, all of the pros. You know, the last game he started was high school. You know, and I don't know what year he graduated, but I'm sure it was a long time ago. So, the other team is Washington. Redskins are playing really good, and Clinton Portis is very, very good. He's a little bit talented, I think. He's been having a great year, and whoever had him on their fantasy teams, congratulations, you're probably kicking ass. Spider on the board wants to mention that Buffalo's 5-2, but the reason I didn't mention them is because they lost to Miami. And now they've lost two in a row. They started off 5-0, now they've lost two in a row. And I think their honeymoon's over. I think that's it for them. They might win a couple more games, but I don't think they're going to be making the playoffs. Pops just signed on. What's up, Papa Fox? How you doing? So Washington's a big surprise to me. New England doing this well. The East Division, or the Atlantic in the East, with New England, Jets, Buffalo, and Miami, it's up for grabs. And so is about every other division except for, you know, the Tennessee division. They have a 3-game lead just on Indy, so it's a total surprise right there. So, let me see. I really didn't have anything else. Wow, I made it through my whole sheet already? So, yeah, I made it through my whole sheet. So, I wanted to, since I have a coach next week, next week I don't know if I'll be able to have a show. BJ's flying out to go to Vegas for the camp in Vegas, so not sure if we'll be having a show next week. I'll be sure and have her posted this time, since last week she didn't post it, and I want to apologize to anybody who actually signed on and was looking for me. I did not purposely not tell anybody. So I want to bring up some things. The WFA has recently updated a bunch of things on their site. They've added a couple more teams, a couple more logos. The Ventura Black Widows now have a logo, and it looks like they have a very generic website, but it is up and running. Let's see what else is going on. The IWFL, like we mentioned tonight, the The schedule page has a 2009 link now. The standings page has a 2009 and 8 link. The scores has a 2009 and 10 link. The teams have been blanked out, so they're updating all of that stuff as we speak, and hopefully within the next couple days that'll all be updated. The NWFA, big news, CM's gone. So that's just huge with CM being gone. You know, it's a good thing for the overall sport of women's football. Papa Fox has an announcement. They're doing a swimsuit calendar, which I don't know if is scary or enticing, but the ClarksvilleFox.com, theClarksvilleFox.com. Check it out. If you find it intriguing enough, go ahead and get it. And if you're a true member of supporting women's football, I'm sure you'll have one hanging up at your office or entertainment room or work-study room, all that fun stuff. So I'm glad I made you laugh, Papa. It's always fun. Rob out there is a good guy, and I keep on meaning to call and talk to him about some certain things, but I can't do it. I remember that when I was at the Aftershock, we actually did it wasn't a swimsuit calendar, but it was more of a risque calendar where the players were scantily clothed or they didn't wear much. They had sporting equipment on, sports bras. Some of them just had their shoulder pads on or just their sports underwear on, and it was a very well done. I probably need to scan some of those pictures and put them on my website and let people know, because there were some really cool pictures, and it was a really great calendar. And don't forget, you know, some of these people run these calendars as fundraisers, and like the Clarksville Fox is actually selling probably to promote funds. There are some people that actually do, what is it, like raffles based off of their calendars. So, you know, all of you people that have, you know, ideas on fundraisings or things that have been successful for your team, make sure you email me, headcoach@californiaquake.com. I will, you know, use those and give credit where credit is due and spread the word because, you know, all of us out there in women's football are dealing with the money issues, and it is a big stress on the team when the team should be focused about playing football and not raising money. Preseason is all about getting stronger and participating in team events that raise money because management is raising the money and just asking you to make appearances, you know, and that in turn lessens your player fee. But as us, every team will continue to have player fees until we have major sponsorship. You know, start sharing your ideas. It's not me against the world. It's all of us working together, no matter what league you're in, to get better. You know, Papa wants to let you know the Clarksville Fox swimsuit calendars are $18. You can order through the website, and then it'll be delivered straight to your door, and you can jump up and down just in time for the holiday season to give it to your loved one. So, let me see. Don't forget, tomorrow is Coach Trammer's show. He will probably have more on the happenings of the NWFA and be a little bit more in-depth with that if he isn't. I apologize for building him up, but, you know, if he's as informed as I am about some of the things that happen in our league, I mean, I know a lot of stuff and he never can't say it until I'm saying, okay, you can say it. So that's always nice. Just also like BJ and the ladies on the show on Sunday. Don't forget to catch theirs, 3 p.m. Theirs is not WFB Talk Continues. Theirs is just WFB Talk. You can always check out the Ning sites. You know, you got the Women's Football Talk one, and then you have the IWFL one. You also have the message boards, which are thankfully dying down. And then you, of course, have the WordPress that the ladies from WFB Talk, and I think it's WFB Talk .wordpress. Is that it? I think so. So, I'll look at that. And Papa Fox has got so many cool things going on with his team. He actually has a mascot, and I don't think very many people do have mascots out there. And if you have a volunteer and somebody with the right energy to do it, that's great. But I don't think a lot of people have that availability to them. He does, and he has a mascot, Trixie. I've seen the mascot in person. It's a big, big yellow fox, and it's very energetic, and it does liven up the fans, and it's probably really good for getting families and kids out there, which is big, because if a kid says they want to go to a women's football game, are you going to say no? Don't think so. So Trixie is actually going to the hospital out of Fort Campbell, and they're going to go tricky-treating with the kids in the hospital, and that should be pretty cool, and that should be, you know, I want to see an article about it, okay? I want to see an article about it because you need to have the media out there at any event that you have, and, you know, we need to be, everybody needs to get out there and have something printed. I actually, my girlfriend, who plays on the team, she was out the other day playing co-ed softball in her league, and one of the players on that opposite team came up to her and said, hey, you play women's football, right? And she's like, yeah. She's like, is this the Quake? And she's like, yeah. She's like, oh, I saw your ad in the district. And the district is a local free magazine around here. And we had a quarter page ad, I think it was, for our clinics and tryouts. And he's like, yeah, I saw it. You guys are big time now. You're in the district. And we've been in several little local things, the Grunion, and back in the day, we were in the Times and Orange County Register, so it's really important to get some publicity out there because while print is dying, it's not yet dead, and a lot of people, especially older people, read a lot of print, and I don't mean older as in old folkies, I mean just mature. People who aren't always on the internet getting updated every 3 seconds, people that check their internet once or twice a week or maybe once or twice a month, they read the papers, and they read the magazines. So Pop says there will be two papers there. So I want to see those articles out there. Make sure you post them on the sites so that people can go see them and spread the word. So without any further ado, I'm probably going to say goodbye for the evening. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Enjoy the camps and everything next weekend. There will be no show because I don't want to deal with, you know, having to worry about you know, all that fun stuff. All the big news will be afterwards. Hopefully all the league stuff will be set, and if it is set, then it'll be an even more in-depth show the week before, because we can all kind of talk it out and see if we agree with what the IWFL did and all that fun stuff. So I'm very excited. The season's is right around the corner. I mean, we have practices starting January 6th, and, you know, I'm still trying to get the rest the final touches on my coaching staff. So everybody have a wonderful evening. Thanks for listening. I'm Coach Penn. You've been listening to Third and Long, and I am out of here. Good night.